All right, let's pray. God, you are so good. We thank you. Thank you, God, for who you are for us. God, you are a father, such a kind and a loving father. And you have so much parental love and parental strength that you want to share with us. And I thank you that you put people in our midst to be that parental expression, to be that that love and that strength. And I thank you for them. And I ask tonight, God, that you'd make us a people. You'd make us a people by your Spirit who know how to create a culture of honor in this family. And you teach us what it looks like to honor those you've placed in authority over us. Would you show us what it looks like, and would you help us do it? I ask in Jesus' name, amen. I remember in October of 2009, sitting on the couch in Travis and Joy's living room with Emily and their quaint little house. It was just around the corner from us and in Brighton, just a neighborhood in Boston. And I remember the excitement I felt, because even though I knew it was coming, that Travis and Joy were about to ask us to move out here to Tempe. Though I knew it was coming, I still had this excitement in my heart. And sure enough, they asked us if we wanted to be on the team that would plant this church here, Antioch Community Church here in Tempe. And it felt like a no-brainer. It really felt like a no-brainer. Travis and Joy are our mentors and our close friends, and so it's just like, yeah, we'll pray about it. But I mean, we're already kind of felt like, yeah, we're in. And so we said we'd process it for a few days, and then we got back to him a couple days later and said, yeah, we're on board. Fast forward 4 months, I remember sitting on the same couch in the same living room in the same house. Travis and Joy had invited us over for another conversation. I didn't really know what it was about. Travis had invited us over, and I said, hey man, is everything okay? What's this about? And he's like, yeah, everything's fine. Just come on over. We have something we want to talk to you about. And so as we sat there and as they talked to us, they proceeded to let us know that though we had committed to come here to Tempe, though we had already said yes to being on this team, that we were going to be receiving another offer from the church that we are part of for a ministry position. And so the next day, we sat down with the lead pastor and his wife, and they described to us the invitation and laid out what they were asking us, and that, you know, involves a little bit of funding, and it involved for me to have a specific role on an established church staff, like, you know, an official title on a church staff. And honestly, to be vulnerable, I was flattered and a little enticed by it. Emily has family in the Boston region, and so the idea of being able to stick around and be close to them as we continue to grow up together was appealing. Also, Emily had a great job. She worked at Boston Children's Hospital, which, if you know Children's Hospitals, it goes back and forth between that and Philadelphia Children's, between the two best hospitals in the world. And so she had a great job there. And me, as a young, bright-eyed, slightly insecure guy, I was enticed by the idea of having like an official title or official role on a church staff, and because I think as a young guy, I was still looking for that sense of significance and that sense of importance. And so, needless to say, we had to go back to the drawing board a little bit and to pray and to actually like really wholeheartedly pray this time. And although I knew we were probably going to end up coming out here to Tempe like we said we would, I really felt it was important for me to get a word from the Lord. I really needed to hear God, because I needed a word that was going to hold me and sustain me and anchor me through the ins and outs of seasons, and to keep me from asking the what if questions. And so sure enough, we waited on the Lord, and I felt like God spoke to us, but spoke to me specifically. And he spoke to me out of 1 Samuel 18. And he spoke to me about the story of David and Jonathan. And he said to me, Andy, you're to be a Jonathan to Travis. You're to lay down your life for him, for his family, and for his vision. And you're to serve him in any way that you can. And you're to always, always, always give him your very best. Now, I know we weren't the only ones who had an option to stay in Boston. I know we weren't the only ones who had an opportunity to have different ministry roles or positions. And I know that we weren't the only ones who came out here with that grid, with that framework, that we're coming out here to serve the Phillips. But for me, something about that word just resonated so deeply in my soul. It hit me so deep on the inside. It was like something, it felt like it was what I was made for. It was like God was speaking something, and something inside me that I had never known was there came alive. It was like it was my destiny. It was like it was my destiny. And to this day, this word shapes not just what I do, but it shapes the way I do it. You see, Travis had, he had done his job well. As we talked about last week, he had taken responsibility over my well-being and helped me learn how to walk as a baby Christian. He called out my greatness and challenged me to step up to greatness. He rebuked me and corrected me when I was acting like an immature, insecure little jerk, which may be a surprise to some of you, but I can be from every now and then. And if I have been that way towards you, I'm sorry. Okay, I can be that way. But he called me out and he corrected me and he rebuked me. And he always did it in a way that made me feel loved and pursued. And in it all, he reproduced in me and passed on to me the values of living and leading with absolute devotion to Jesus, with integrity, with courage, with wisdom, and with strength. And I just want to say again, if fathers and mothers in this room will step up to the plate, and if you will take responsibility over the next generation's well-being, sons and daughters in this room will experience redemption in the way they perceive and respond to authority. If fathers and mothers in this room will step up and be the fathers and mothers that they are called to be, then the sons and daughters in this room will experience redemption in the way they perceive and respond to authority. My generation has been trained to disrespect and to dishonor authority, because we've been abandoned and abused and controlled and manipulated by the people who were meant to love us the most. But God is inviting you to do something about it, to be an expression of his strong and loving parental heart. And as you do it, God will use you to restore a culture of honor in this family. And I believe that is happening. I believe fathers and mothers are stepping up to the plate. They are taking the initiative. They are reaching out to the next generation. And so now it's on us. Now, sons and daughters, it's our turn and it's our time to respond. It's our time. It's time for us to honor God by honoring the authority that he has put in our life. And make no mistake about it, we honor God and honor his authority by honoring the people and the authority that God has put in our midst. If we disrespect or dishonor our authority, we are disrespecting and dishonoring God. And we are putting ourselves in a position of pride and rebellion. And if we say to our authority, we don't need you, then what we're saying to God is we don't need you either. And we positioned ourselves in a place of independence, and we become our own idol. And let me just say this, that is not a good place to be, and it doesn't turn out well for us. When we position ourselves in a place of independence and we become our own idol, it's not a good place to be. And so tonight I want to unpack what it actually looks like to honor our authority. And I want to unpack what it actually looks like to create a culture of honor in our midst, and to look at some examples of what that can be for us. And I want to do it tonight by looking at the same thing that God spoke to me about the story of David and Jonathan. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel 18. Real briefly, the book of 1 Samuel can be found about a quarter of the way through your Bible. So if you go to the right of the beginning of your Bible, go about a quarter of the way through, you'll be at 1 Samuel. Samuel was a prophet of the Lord, meaning he was anointed by God to speak to the people of Israel on God's behalf. 1 and 2 Samuel is our history books, meaning they recount things that happened in Israel's time during and slightly after Samuel's tenure as prophet. And Samuel's journey as a prophet also intersects with David's journey in becoming king. And so we see a lot of David's story written throughout those two books as well. Now, before we hop into this story, let me give a little bit of context. Currently in Israel, there's a man named Saul who's the king over Israel, but his days are numbered. And we know his days are numbered because in 1 Samuel 15, we see Saul rebel and disobey God, and we see God reject him and remove his anointing from him. In 1 Samuel 16, we see Samuel travel to a little town called Bethlehem in search for the next king as God was leading him. And Samuel anointed a young shepherd boy named David to be the next king, who was the most forgettable of Jesse's 8 sons. And in 1 Samuel 17, we see this once shepherd boy, now anointed king, take down the savage Philistine giant named Goliath. And the son of King Saul, Prince Jonathan, was there. And he observed this act of heroism, and he observed this act of faith. And that's where we pick up the story. So 1 Samuel 18, starting in verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Verse 2, from that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. Verse 3, and Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And verse 4, Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. So let's unpack this a little bit and look from Jonathan's example of what it can be for us to honor our authority. Starting in verse 1, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. So, number one, looking at Jonathan's example, what can we learn and to how to create a culture of honor? Number one, Jonathan realized that David was God's anointed man and immediately swore his allegiance and loyalty to him. Jonathan realized that David was God's anointed man and immediately swore his allegiance and loyalty to him. 1 Samuel 17, David takes down Goliath. First verse of the next chapter, it says Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. Jonathan says, hey bro, I'm your guy. I'm your guy, okay? I'm your guy. Whatever you need, you just let me know. I'm your guy. We see that. We see Jonathan immediately responding to the anointing and the authority he sees on David's life. I could just imagine 1 Samuel 17 as David is running out to the battlefield with just a sling and a rock. He's running towards this savage beast, Goliath. He's running at him. I can imagine Jonathan looking and saying, oh my goodness, that's the anointed one. That is God's man. He's the chosen one. He's the one Israel has been waiting for. I could just see that. I could sense. I mean, the scripture doesn't give us those juicy details, but just imagine it. Can you imagine what it felt like to see David slay and behead Goliath with Goliath's own sword? I mean, there must have just been like, oh my goodness, an awe and reverence for the anointing of God on this man. You know, there are times when we're in meetings or we're here on Sunday services and I'm watching Travis speak or lead, or I'm watching Adam lead us in worship. And I have that same sense just come over me. And if I take a minute just to kind of step back and kind of, you know, bird's eye view and just remove myself and just kind of observe what's going on, I see God's hand on these guys. I see God's authority on these guys. I see God's anointing as God's delegated authority, as he has set them apart to lead us into more of him and to lead us in the ways of God. And so when I see that and I observe that, I say to myself, oh God, what can I do to love them? What can I do to honor them? And what can I do to serve them? Jonathan wasn't there the day David was anointed. He wasn't present. The word did not get to him. That was a private affair. But there was something about the way David lived and what David did that day with Goliath that helped Jonathan, that got Jonathan's eyes, I believe, were open and see God's hand, God's anointing, God's authority is on that man. And immediately it says that he loved him as he loved himself. And upon recognizing it, I believe we see Jonathan swearing his allegiance and putting himself in a place of service to it. So let me ask you, do you know who your spiritual authority is? Do you know who that person is or persons? Do you know who it is? Do you know who God has chosen, anointed to be your covering, your spiritual authority, your spiritual leader in this season of your life? Do you know the mentor or discipler or life group leader or pastor that God has set aside and said, this is my chosen leader for you? Do you know who it is? And if you know who it is, are you actively and immediately taking steps towards them to show and swear your allegiance to them, to show that you're behind them 100%? Verse 3, and Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. So the second thing that we can learn from Jonathan and how to create a culture of honor, how to honor our authority, is Jonathan made a covenant of commitment and faithfulness with David. First thing to notice, Jonathan made a covenant. Jonathan did it. Jonathan was the one who reached out. Jonathan is the one who stepped forward. Jonathan was the one who took a step towards committing and demonstrating and communicating that allegiance. David didn't say, hey, dude, I'm God's man. You know, come serve me. Your spiritual authority is not going to come to you and say, hey, I'm God's chosen leader for you in this season. Come, I want you to give me your very best. No, that's not what it's going to look like. It's up to you to identify. It's up to you and the Lord identifying who that person is. And it's up to you to take responsibility to move forward and to take action, to demonstrate that you're behind them and to show them honor. It's up to you. And it's up to me. It's our responsibility to communicate and demonstrate honor and respect. We must take initiative to make sure our fathers and mothers know that we're behind them. Second thing to notice, Jonathan made a covenant. He made a covenant. That word made in the Hebrew is the word karath, which means to cut. Literally translated, it says Jonathan cut an allegiance or cut a covenant with David. Now, in ancient Near East culture, making covenants was a very common thing between men. And when they would come together to make a covenant, what they would do was they would take animals and they would cut them into two parts, and they would create this kind of corridor, all similar to the way this aisle is right here. They would create a corridor or an alley, and then the men would go and meet in it, and they would discuss the details of the arrangement, and then they would seal it. And what the cutting of the animals into two parts represented was something like this: let that be done unto me if I'm not faithful to you. Let this be done unto me if I'm not faithful to you. Jonathan's pledge to David was a serious pledge. We see something similar played out in weddings and in the wedding covenants. That's where we get the phrase "until death do us part." It's this serious commitment. It's this serious pledge to say, "I'm yours." And I pledge myself to you. I promise to give you myself to you. And no matter what happens, I'm in this. I'm in this and I'm yours. Now, when I felt God speak this to me about Travis, I didn't go take my cat and put him on the chopping block, okay? But I have to admit, I was tempted, okay? So when Emily and I, the first 3 months of our marriage, we had a cat. We were cat sitting for her parents, and we had a cat named Fred. And Fred was, well, I won't tell you what Fred was. You can fill in the blank. He just wasn't very nice, okay? He's not a nice cat. There were times where I would walk, I would kind of be walking, just minding my own business, being a good, kind master. I'd walk by, and he'd just reach out, and he'd whap me with his paw, like trying to show me that he was boss, which he wasn't. I was boss, and I had to do some other things. There were times when I'd have him in my, I had him in my lap, and I'd just be petting him and being all sweet, such a kind master. And he'd reach back and he'd just bite me for no reason. Like, dude, driving me a little crazy. I remember one night we had Fred in our bedroom with us as we were going to bed, and he you proceeded to get on top of Emily. You got, if those of you who have cats know what I'm about to say. He proceeded to get on top of Emily's dresser and systematically, like, just swat everything off of it. And, like, I got up, I, like, sat up, and I'm like, Fred, knock it off. And he looked at me with, like, this face of, like, oh, what? You mean don't do this? Yeah. You mean, and, like, just, and I'm just like, ugh. And so I was tempted to, but I didn't. I didn't. October is National Clergy Appreciation Month. But I'm going to tell you, Adam is not going to be blessed if you come up to his door like this and say, hey, Adam, I love you, bro. I just want to honor you and serve you. No, that's not going to bless him, okay? And that's not what I'm talking about. And I'm also not saying that the person that God gives as your authority is going to be that. That doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be your authority for the rest of your life. God brings us in and out of seasons and brings different people in our lives. But what I'm saying is this. Be deeply committed to honoring the authority God has put in your life and take that commitment seriously. Be deeply, deeply committed to honoring the authority God has put in your life and take that commitment seriously. Verse 4, the beginning of it, Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David along with his tunic. So the third thing that we can learn from Jonathan about how to honor our authority and how to create a culture of honor in our midst is that Jonathan sacrificially served David by laying down his personal ambition. What was also custom in the ancient Near East at this time is when they would make covenants is that the parties making covenants would also exchange garments. And we see that happening here. We see Jonathan taking off his robe and his tunic. That was very common in the day. And what that, your garment, your robe, your tunic, what it represented was it represented you. It represented who you were. It represented your personhood. It was like I could look off in the distance and I could see the color of the robe and I could see the way it fell over that person's shoulders. I'd be like, oh, that's Adam coming towards me. So it was a way of identifying who the person was. And so when you're making a covenant and you exchange the garment, what you're saying is you're not just giving them a piece of cloth. You're saying, I give you myself, or I give myself to you. And that's exactly what we see Jonathan doing here with David. It's similar to what we see in also in wedding ceremonies when we give rings. We say, with this ring, I give you my all. That's a phrase that we say. With this ring, I give you my all. That ring is a symbol of who we are, and it's a symbol of the sacrifices that we've had to make to make you our own. So my question is this. If Jonathan is demonstrating that sacrificial love and sacrificial of giving of ourselves as part of honoring our authority, my question is this: do we go out of the way to bless and serve our authority? Do we go above and beyond? Do we give of our time, of our resources, of our energy to show them that we're behind them, to show them that we're for them, to communicate to them honor and respect? Because I want to say this. This may sound like a bunch of nice and noble words, but it's not that. Honoring our authority, it's an actual lifestyle that involves real gestures of loyalty. You know, in Jonathan's his love and him giving of himself, it really did come at cost to himself. What's so compelling about this story is not that Jonathan had a robe that represented who he was, but Jonathan had a robe that represented that he was royalty. Jonathan, as prince over Israel, he would have had an exquisite robe. He would have had a marvelous robe, second only to the king, and that robe would have signified that he was the rightful heir to the throne, that he was next in line. And so when Jonathan takes this robe off and he gives it to David, he's not just saying, I give you myself. He's saying to David, I give you my throne. I give you my throne. And he laid down his status and he laid down his position to serve God's anointed one, to serve God's the vision and the calling that God had on his anointed one. How many people in my generation are dying for the spotlight and for the stage? How many of us are desperate to be seen and to be known and to be recognized by others? How many of us are still looking for the evaluations of others to find our sense of self? How many of us are more concerned with being famous than being faithful? And I know because I have been this way. I know because at times I can be that way. But God, I just lay that down right now. God, on behalf of my generation, I just lay that down on the altar right now. I just want to serve. I just want to give Travis, and I just want to give Adam, and I want to give whoever else is leading me. I just want to give them my very best. And God, I just want to be faithful. Honoring spiritual authority means we lay down our agenda and our plans and our own aspirations to serve someone else in the place of the anointing and the appointing that God has given them. Finishing up verse 4, not only did Jonathan give his robe and his tunic, he also gave even his sword, his bow, and his belt. You know, what we can learn from this is Jonathan swore to protect and defend David. Finally, as part of creating covenant with someone, there was usually an exchange of weaponry. There was an exchange of arms. And the trading of arms, what it represented was a pledge of protection and defense. And what Jonathan was saying by giving David his weaponry, he was saying, I pledge and I make it my personal aim to protect you from harm. You know, leaders, they walk around and they have targets on their back. When things are like a did anybody just see that? That was crazy. It's like coming right at me. Okay. Get out of here, devil. Leaders, they walk around with targets on their back. And whenever anything goes wrong, or whenever anybody's upset, get out of here, devil. Whenever anybody's upset, you know what? The leaders are usually the ones who take the hit for it. I'm convinced that we do so much damage to our spiritual leaders because of falsely accusing them or bringing judgment on them or speaking inappropriately behind their back because of our carelessness of speech. But honoring our spiritual authority means we defend the reputation of our leaders, especially when they're not in the room. It means we stand up for them in the face of accusation. And it means we help to eliminate the godless chatter from circulating throughout the family. Let me say this as well. It doesn't mean that we always agree or like everything our authority does. There have been plenty of times where, you know, I've said to Travis, hey man, I don't know, I think we could say that in a better way, or I think I don't know if it's a good idea to do that, or hey man, you know, you hurt my feelings a little bit when you said X, Y, or Z. Okay, I'm a sensitive guy. Okay, and he welcomes that, and he invites that, and he welcomes that, and he appreciates that because I'm helping him get better. But far be it from me that when I ever bring any pushback or when I ever bring any suggestions to him, far be it from me that I would ever do it in a way that would undercut his authority or tear him down or make or not validate him as my leader. No, that is not the way I do it. I do it when I offer suggestions, when I offer things to him. I do it in a way that validates who he is as my leader and honors him and makes sure that he knows that I know that he's my leader. So my question is this: do we say hurtful things about our leaders behind their backs? Do we say hurtful things to their faces? do we ridicule them in the presence of others? Like we talked about last Sunday, and like so many of us testified this past week in Life Group, God's parental authority is for our good. It's for our good. God delegates his authority and to spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers and spiritual leaders, and their presence in our lives guides us and shapes us as we grow up in Christ. And so tonight, like I said before, this one is on us. This one is on us. Sons and daughters, will you take time to identify the person that God has chosen to be your authority in this season of your life? And sons and daughters, once you've identified them, will you or will we seriously commit to honor them? Will we sacrifice ourselves and lay down our own aspirations and our own agendas to give ourselves to them? And will we defend them and defend their name and honor them with our words? And will we play our role in creating a culture of honor? This one's on us. Will we play our role in creating a culture of honor? And will we honor God and God's authority, his loving parental authority, by honoring those he has delegated to be authority in our lives? Here at Antioch, we like to take time at the end of every service to respond to God. And we value it because we believe it's a chance for us to really internalize the things that God is speaking and really internalize the things that we're learning. And we really value it because it's a chance for us to actually apply and put into action what God is doing in our hearts. And oftentimes we invite people to come to the front to respond because we believe the physical step of getting out of our seats activates something. And it actually helps us engage with what God is doing. And so tonight's response is going to be simple. If you feel God tugging on your soul, if you feel the Holy Spirit convicting you of ways that you have dishonored your authority or have not done a good job of honoring them, or if you feel the Holy Spirit freshly inspiring you and calling you up to a new place of showing extravagant honor, then I just invite you to come forward tonight. I invite you to actively engage with what God is doing in your heart and to give you a chance to process with him. Not just to have vision for what it could look like, but to give you I feel like God wants to give practical steps, practical ways of moving forward in creating a culture of honor in our midst. Let's pray. Father, we do. We do say that you are our authority. We do say that you are our covering. We do agree with that, that you are the Father above all. And we do say thank you for delegating that authority and giving different ones, mothers and fathers, a chance to express to us that authority. And so, God, would you right now, would you expose in us our places of independence and pride and rebellion? Would you expose those things in us? Would you expose the ways that we have not acknowledged our authority and not taken action to submit and honor them? Would you expose in us ways that we've held back and that we haven't given them our very best? And would you expose ways that we have been unkind and dishonoring with our words and with our mouth? Spirit of God, would you stir that up in our midst? Would you convict us and show us ways that we haven't done it right? And then would you say, it's okay now. Let's move forward and let's do it right. Because I want to create a culture of honor on earth as it is in heaven. In this family as it is in heaven. And so would you now inspire us, Spirit of the living God, would you inspire us and coach us and challenge us and equip us and give us great ideas and great motivation and great vision for moving forward and honoring our authority and honoring the fathers and the mothers and the leaders in our midst. We need you, God. We need you, God. Have your way in us, we pray. Have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.